65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. This is Spanning the State, and here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Steve Scafidi.
Indeed, indeed. Steve Scafidi is here for this Friday edition of Spanning the State. How are you doing today, Steve?
I am wonderful on this Friday. Thanks for including me.
Yeah, we're always happy to have you here.
I often go home in the afternoons. I'll be completely honest about that. I do stick around some days because we have recording to do, all the business side of the shows and the commercials and all that stuff. But I always love doing the other shows because I can sort of unplug from what I typically do on my show.
Which shows have you not done? Which shows have you not? Because you've covered for The Upswing.
You've done
some of the weekend shows.
I have not done the show that precedes you.
Okay, so you've never done any of the news shows.
Well, I've done WAN. Yeah.
Oh, you have done
not
that.
As a host, just, but a, like a you know a guest for a long.
Oh
period
no,
of time.
I but I mean like no, you're never firing the sounders for the right. News.
I have never fired a sounder in my life. Let it be known.
I feel like you'd like that kind of control, though, to be able to put your own.
I feel like that's sort
stuff.
Of accusatory and suggestive in what you just said there. But let's let that go because we're here to have fun today.
What I will say is accusatory is the thing that I will hold against you. You're not a NC2A basketball fan.
I used to be. I used to run a pool. I used to go to Vegas and or Reno for the
first weekend.
Oh, my God. Betting like a maniac, drinking too much, having too much fun. And I had enough of it at some point. I still enjoy it.
You didn't put a bracket in.
I didn't. No, I haven't done that in years.
Why? Isn't that the fun part of this?
No, to be honest. I just don't like to. I got to keep track.
Do you get too invested?
I do. Then I got to keep track. I got to watch games that I don't want to watch. So much of this, if you got to really love college basketball, because you're watching games with teams you don't care about.
I feel like every year there is a team, at least one team in the that makes it. They're like, well, I never heard of this school.
Lipscomb.
Yeah, I've never heard of that school before.
3 miles from Vanderbilt University, which is where my son-in-law Corey played baseball.
Okay.
Won a College World Series, by the way. Corey Williams, you want to look it up. 3 miles from that campus is Lipscomb, and they're, I think, in Milwaukee as we speak. Is that crazy?
That is crazy. I did not. That's not the most appealing name.
No. What's their mascot?
Yeah, weird mouthfeel. What?
What's their mascot? somebody text us on the Signing Unlimited WTMJ talk. 855-616-1620. So, yeah, this is a fun show because it's sort of me unplugged, is the way I'll put it.
That.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're not unplugged on your show?
I'm more by the book on my show because I have serious topics. Like Monday, I'm talking about the Canadian U.S. trades and tariffs with an economic expert from Canada, from Toronto.
Okay, but I feel like our topics today are pretty serious. So we're going through, we're going to go over in the half the time that we usually have you on for the Political Power half hour. We're going to talk about the looming Supreme Court decisions on the limits to presidential powers.
What
we're going to talk about
do?
The Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. We're going to spin the state. That's not as serious. Then mm-hmm. we're going to talk about the migration numbers to Wisconsin.
Which surprised me.
Which surprised me as well. And mm-hmm. so talking about that.
What's the draw?
We're going to talk about our podcast.
Is it the fish fries?
And then we are going to have a game.
So you guys always have a game on Friday.
Today it is tournament trivia because we can't say the other MM word because we will be giving away a WTMJ prize pack. So if you feel like you know college basketball and the tournament well, today is your day coming up at around 2:40.
Back when I used to do contests on my old show, a couple versions of the show ago, I used to pretend that the prize package was much more expansive than it actually. I would say like, hey, and there's like a lunch with Eric Bilstead.
So you oversold it?
Yeah. Or they're, hey, did you know that so-and-so did a centerfold of a women's magazine? There's actually a copy of that. All crazy stuff I would make up.
And it was never...
Never true.
Did people ever complain?
No.
That they didn't get what they were promised?
I think they actually thought it was true, to be honest.
Who did you say was in the centerfold of a women's magazine?
Maybe Scott Warris. I mean, because a lot of people would want that, Scott Warris being the stud that he is. So let's be honest. And a great radio guy. And, by the way, the voice of my UWM Panthers, Scott Warris. Mr. Scott.
It's true.
Did you ever work with Scott?
We overlapped for a little bit, but we never got to do a show together.
Quickly. He was my producer when I started.
Okay.
Here's what he said to me. Immediately before I went on the air, in my headphones, Steve, try not to suck. That was his motivation. So, Rhea, don't be pulling that nonsense today, please.
All right. Well, our first topic that we wanted to dive into, because you have unique experience with this story.
You think?
Yes. So, the ongoing Bucky's saga, and will it come to Oak Creek? The Oak Creek Common Council voted 5-1 on Tuesday.
Of what I predicted, by the way.
But now there is potential legal stuff. So we're going to dive into that after this with the former mayor of Oak Creek.
Hello.
My good friend, Steve Scafidi on Spanning the State. And I'm never going back
to my old school. So Steely Dan for yours truly, Steve Scafidi, filling in for Brian Noonan. And Brian is out today.
He is out today.
Yeah. And like I said before, I'm happy to always fill in whenever you need me.
We always have fun.
We do. And that's sort of, you know, we could talk about serious stuff and we will, but, you know, part of it is having fun on the radio, which I think we're good at.
We are good at that.
And we'll talk about
it. And we also have fun on our podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at some point during the show as well.
Absolutely.
You need to listen to that podcast, by the way.
It's also the name of the podcast.
Wow, it's almost like we had a design there. Brilliant.
All right, so let's talk about Buc-ee's. I have never been to a Buc-ee's.
Nor have I.
I don't know what the, Brian loves Buc-ee's. This has been an ongoing bit on our show, and it's a bit, but it's also him being very serious about how much he loves what Buc-ee's says. The bathrooms are super clean, all of these different things as far as why Buc-ee's is so good. What I've realized in this process of Oak Creek going through the motions to try to acquire at Buc-ee's is that they are massive.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking
like way bigger than any average Quick Trip that you see. Right?
Yeah, 100 plus gas pumps. But here, I mean, the kicker, the sort of the caveat is not for semis, which is different than Quick Trip. There's semi traffic at some Quick Trips. Now, I know some of them are in neighborhoods, so maybe not. But it's a mega station. I've heard different descriptions, people calling it like a gas station, like a Walmart attached to it. I mean, all that department store-esque sort of qualities. I've heard they have great, all the snacks that the travelers love. The thing about this development, and this is sort of the most serious part of it, and I'm somebody who's known for development as a former mayor, as I was from Oak Creek, if you didn't know.
Are we going to ding him every time he has a humble brag?
I was waiting for the button. Anyway,
there we go.
This was an interesting proposal, now sort of reality. They just moved past zoning. You mentioned it 5-1, and if you're wondering why the vote was 5-1, I would call it aldermanic protection. So the alderman, I believe in this case, it was Ken Gale.
It was.
They would protect him. He can vote against it, knowing that they probably have.
Because is it his district?
I believe so.
So he's representing, because a lot of people who live around where the proposed location is, not happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's get into that a little bit. So living around something is different than living immediately adjacent to the property. There are roads that separate that development, at least my understanding, because they recreated that interchange. That used to be just the 27th Street exit off the freeway, which was a straight shot off the freeway. Now it's sort of an Elm Road. You can only go east, which would go to that site, which is really going to be exclusive, other than if you want to go to On the Border, which is a gentleman's club, which is just west of that location. Do the two things mix?
Not to be confused with Lapland.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the city did what they had to do. The timing of this is interesting. I mean, I mentioned this on my show when I did a whole hour on Buc-ee's.
I know you did.
I think that this is a sort of, and the reason it got out so early is it was a sort of a smart, development-friendly response to the loss of Master Lock, which, if you don't know, was the big company that was the headquarters were located on Howell Avenue, which was formerly Bucyrus, which had taken the Midwest Airlines property many, many years ago. So that's sort of that natural cycle of things. There was another small business in there between.
So why do you predict? I mean, because I feel like Master Lock's a very different company and business model and what it's attracting than a Buc-ee's.
It's just
not their job.
It's just a diversion from a bad story to a positive story.
Oh, they, it's a PR move.
Yeah, this is a PR move for the city. I think they're saying, okay. Well, we lost the business. Here's a business that we don't have. And don't not think about this aspect. The first Buc-ee's in the state. That's a big deal. What else was...
DeForest is trying to get one, too.
Yeah, and they've had
This one seems like it's further along.
And what else was Oak Creek known for as the first of many? What?
IKEA,
right? So, and I believe that was during my tenure as mayor as well. There we go. I was waiting for it. So there's that piece. So I think that was a smart play strategically and developmentally by Oak Creek.
So do you feel, because as you said, you were known as a development mayor.
Right.
You had IKEA. What was the other big?
Selling Chewies.
Yes. Yeah. And so what can you interpret from the, because right now a group of residents are voicing their concerns. They've hired a lawyer. There's conversations around what legal action they have available. Was there a similar response when you brought IKEA?
There was the threat. And I think this legal is still, they've talked to a lawyer. They haven't even documented, at least according to the reporting I've seen, what that argument might be. I'll give Oak Creek credit. They are following the rule of law and the steps exactly as you have to do it with the public meetings, with the open forums for people. They'll certainly probably do more of that as it moves up the ladder. And eventually you'll get to a final council vote. Mayor will sign it and it'll be on its way.
You don't seem like you have much sympathy for the people who are upset about this.
I always have sympathy for neighbors, but I will say this. In a city like Oak Creek that is known for easy routes of transportation, I-94, airport just north, big tracts of land that are open, i.e. IKEA, i.e. Amazon, their big facility, I think it's 2 million square feet, which is massive, on Ryan Road, Highway 100 off of I-94. This should be expected. So whenever you come or listen or live in a city that has those things, expect to see development. Not unlike what's happening in Mount Pleasant with all of the recent developments with Microsoft and before that, of course.
Foxconn.
Oh, that's a whole ball of wax, isn't it? I don't even want to talk about Foxconn.
All right, we will not talk about Foxconn.
Let's talk about the fun part of this story.
So when we come back, we want to talk about, if you have an obsession, text in with this, 855-616-1620. Do you have a dedication or a commitment to a specific gas station? Do you go, like, obviously, the fan favorite in Wisconsin is going to be Quick Trip, but is there just a place that you have to go to get your gas and the things that come with it? Because Steve has strong feelings about people who are very committed to their gas station choices. Yes.
It's like a dependency, really.
All right, stay with us on Spanning the State. All right, welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry. Steve Scafidi's in for Brian Noonan today.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about, we were talking about Buc-ee's and the Oak Creek Common Council vote earlier this week. Things are moving forward. There's a lot of residents who are not happy about it. But there's enthusiasm, right? We are in the text line already from the 920. I will drive way out of the way to go to a Buc-ee's. Love that place. And then from the 414, I have to go to Quick Trip primarily for their donuts, although the gas is reasonably priced all the time. Because you have thoughts on people who have a routine comes to their gas.
I always look at it, okay, so from my perspective, and I used to be one of those guys, I like Quick Trip. It's a great company, and I actually, going back to my roots, we brought like three or four of them to Oak Creek, and they're great, great, great places to go. And their snacks are great, and I'm a big fan of their donuts when I was eating donuts. But I never understood the reason why you would go to one of these places every morning. Like, the coffee is that good, the donuts are that good, you're going to go there every morning. And nothing against Quick Trip.
Well, it's on your way. Because, you know, and this is because it's just a different part of a routine, right? As far as the other option of being, what, Starbucks or a different coffee shop?
Or as someone said this morning, just make it at your house, like which is what I do. Saves you a lot of money, by the way.
I do.
And here's the thing about Buc-ee's. Unless you're on the freeway, it's not really like on your way.
But isn't Oak Creek basically on the freeway?
It is. It rips right through the center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if and when this goes in, like, how many people in Oak Creek use this Buc-ee's versus it just being transient traffic?
Yeah,
like, I don't know if they measure that.
I'm sure they do. They probably know if people sign up for their rewards program or stuff like that. They'll probably be able to see at least a pretty good idea of who's going there. Everything I've heard about Buc-ee's, they're amazing, amazing places. But that's the same thing with Quick Trip.
But this is what the first reaction when Brian was trying to explain to me the magic of Buc-ee's. And I was like, well, because I will say, since moving back to Wisconsin, if there is an option for a Quick Trip, like when I'm driving, so today we're going from up to Rapids for the weekend because it was my dad's birthday yesterday. And
happy birthday, Bobby.
Yes, happy birthday, Pete Bry. I would say if the option, like if you get off at a exit and there's a Quick Trip and a BP, I'm going to choose the Quick Trip.
Yeah, nothing against BP.
No,
but you know what Quick Trip is.
You know the bathrooms are going to be cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, and I also just like, I feel like the staff at Quick Trip's always really
friendly.
So what
if the gas is 5 cents cheaper a gallon at BP than Quick Trip?
I look at that.
Really?
I just kind of, yeah.
Oh, Miss Moneybags.
Well, it's not that. I think I go for convenience and knowing what I'm going
to
get.
So when you go to Quick Trip, what would be a Kristen side purchase? Like, what would you, I want to hear what you would buy. Oh, you have something?
I have something.
Oh, and
this is what a trash can I am when it comes to my
opening her.
I got this from Walgreens before the show started.
Oh, sweet tarts.
God, sweet tart chewies. It's either this or like Skittles or Mike and Ike's or some kind of like child's candy.
Yeah.
And so almost every road trip that we go on, I'm going to have some kind of trash candy.
I learned something about Quick Trip when I was sort of researching some of this stuff. They have soup in a bag.
They used to have milk in a bag.
What's that about? What's the bag thing? Is it just they don't want to have like a heavy container? Is it, what's the lure of soup in a bag?
Why are you asking me as if I'm sort of, the purchaser of this?
I never tried.
I never got to try the milk in the bag before they discontinued
it. I'm sure it's great. Texter says they look at the rewards programs, whether they're going to pick a place. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the Quick Trip program.
Yeah.
Love it. They send me free stuff all the time.
So what is your actual criticism?
I think we have like a lot. This is my Wisconsin criticism. We tend to like overdo the dependency on, like, for example, I'm nothing against what's happening now, Lent, but we're like fixated on fish fries even when it's not Lent. Like, there's a lot of other stuff on the menu.
Isn't this coming from the person? Didn't you go on a supper club tour last year?
I did, but that's 1 week a year.
Okay.
I don't do the supper club thing every week. Or, okay, you know, this dependency on old fashions. Like, Jesus,
so
there's a million
like
other drinks.
You're complaining about people who are habits of creatures of habit.
Yeah. Shake it up. Here's my bigger picture. I think it leads to a sort of a restriction in your brain capacity because you're only fixated on one thing.
I have to have this.
Does that make people angry?
There's not something that you have to have.
I have to have a Negroni tonight when I go out to dinner at Irv's Mug and Oak Creek. I can tell you that.
So you want a Negroni.
Yeah. But I'm not. I can also have other drinks. I can have a glass of red wine, too.
All right. So you
mix it up. All I'll say to people is mix it up. Mix it the hell up.
Okay.
Is that too much to ask, Rhea? I don't think so.
I mean, a little bit.
What's your go-to thing?
Yeah, what's your
for like gas stations?
For anything.
Yeah, do you have like a routine where you are disappointed if you can't fulfill the routine?
No, I'm too chaotic for that.
Yeah.
I also don't have a car anymore, so I'm just out here winging it.
There you go.
Variety is the spice of life is a famous phrase. Mix it up a little bit. Have something else. You know, there's other seafood besides fish. If you're you know, going through the Lenten process, I don't know, have shrimp. Have something else. Mix it up.
Have the vegetarian option?
Have a martini.
How about that? Are you? I feel like you might be a big meat and potatoes guy. Would you ever choose the vegetarian option?
Clearly not now because I'm on a restricted diet. So
fair enough.
No potatoes for this boy. Nope.
All right. Coming up next is ABC News and local headlines. Stay with us on Spanning the State on WTMJ.
It's the Political Power Half Hour on Spanning the State with Kristen Bry and Steve Scafidi.
Oh.
Indeed.
I was wondering if Rhea was on her game today, and she is, clearly.
As she
often is.
You're in the top of the hour open.
You're in our
Political Power Half Hour open.
Now, I do remember at some point early in the evolution of me being on your show, that my name was mentioned first.
It was.
Was there a meeting about that I missed because of that missing?
I think it's the fact that you kept always bringing it up every time it would play.
That's
we're like, all right, well, we should probably change it.
That's persistence is what that is.
All right. Lots of happening.
Politics is crazy right now. Not that it always isn't crazy, but like especially crazy.
Yeah. Should we start with so I brought this up because different news outlets are doing trackers of trying to make sense of all the different court cases, specifically with this, with the Trump administration. And I'm currently looking at the AP News Trump tracker of all the different lawsuits against his executive actions. Mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be close to 100. The amount of scrolling, and they have it categorized by issue. So there's, you know, immigration, federal workers, federal funding, environment,
and constitutional questions,
DOGE. And so there's so many. And so, where are you guys right now between when you have your legal experts come on? Joe and Bill were on the show this morning. As like, we've only had how many have actually even reached the Supreme Court yet? One.
Yeah.
And that was Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
And then
John Roberts. Yeah.
Yes. And Justice John Roberts. And it was right after the joint Congress session.
Yeah. That was a USAID decision, right?
Okay.
I believe so.
And so is that ultimately where all of this will end, as far as the pointing fingers from the administration, whether it be, I guess, if Elon Musk is part of the administration, or we heard in the newscast, Trump saying these are activist judges. And so does the finger pointing just keep going back and forth until it gets to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, when the president's and his administration's POV on this point of view is that these activist judges should be impeached. They're going way over their skis, to use my terminology. They shouldn't be ruling on these cases. And yes, these things will get to the Supreme Court, whether they're combined together in some sort of fashion, if they're similar issues or they're handled separately. But here's the thing. The Supreme Court works very slowly. And what this allows is, for example, one of the things that's been challenged recently is the idea you can just take people out of our country and just fly them out to El Salvador or somewhere else.
Well, and that's what's so... Yesterday...
No due process.
It's Sunshine Week. You know what that is?
Sunshine Week.
Yes.
Is that the open records?
Yes. Thing? Yeah. Good memory. So yesterday we had Ashley Lutheran on the show who's an investigative journalist.
Yeah, great,
from
great reporter.
Great reporter. And they're doing, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is now doing trainings and trying to empower citizens to know what their rights are for open records. And the thing that's crazy to me about this move from the Trump administration to deport people they said were gang members, and I'm sure some of them were, some of them were not. And there's no documentation of even the names of these people, right? And so it's like when you think about open records and what the transparency is supposed to be about what the government is doing and the people's right to know, have that documentation, if they don't even know the names of the people they sent to a foreign country that these people are not from,
it's indicative.
On its face, that seems wild.
It's indicative of a flawed process. We have a thing called due process, and the reason we have that is when we're a fair, free, and honest country, supposedly, and we want to make sure that we don't mistakenly take someone that should be here or can be here and ship them off to a prison where they could lose their life in the first week of being there. And this first issue that Donald Trump is getting a lot of heat on is you have individuals who should not have been part of this roundup who are now out of the country without any ability to challenge those realities. And that's not excusable, and that's not what a president of the United States should be doing. The president, again, reiterated today, he thinks he did the right thing. That's not the right thing. And you can support the president and disagree with that.
I guess I just don't understand. It's one thing to deport people without due process, but like the ability to send them to a country that they're not from. And it's like,
they literally have no
connection. Especially to a prison that they're not.
Yeah.
That they're not. And I just don't understand.
It's the worst
how
behavior.
The recourse. And if they did not document who the people are. If the court goes, if this goes through the courts and the Trump administration loses on this, how do you get those people back? How do you keep track of those people?
How do they get their lives back?
Yeah.
How do we, this is the biggest question of all, right? If the president loses at the Supreme Court level, will he follow that ruling, that decision? Or will he just say, you know what? I'm the president. I can do what I want. What's the recourse for that?
It's never been challenged in that way. And the other thing that I was wondering is like, how does the Supreme Court ruling that gives the president immunity from presidential act, like things done
for
presidential acts, and yeah, I would assume executive orders fall under that. If he continues to break, like, where does that fall into all of this if he doesn't adhere to court rulings?
There's a couple of theories on this. One is, and this is something that Bill McCutcheon's talked about in our program many Fridays, it's sort of the just overwhelm the system. Write and sign all these executive orders so that the courts can't even react fast enough. Now, you just pointed out at the beginning of this segment, there's like 100 different lawsuits, and there will be many more. There will be lawyers, there will be courts, and there'll be rulings at some point. And the other one is, this president seems to not care. This president, and I know there's a lot of people that love this president, basically has said, I am king of this country. And people are now arguing to me, whether that's by text, email, whatever, phone calls, on my personal phone, which somehow somebody put my phone number out there all of a sudden. I'm getting phone calls on my personal phone.
From listeners,
yeah, which is sort of a weird thing. But I answer most of my calls. When you have a president who just ignores the law, what's the end game here and who is going to enforce this stuff? It's absolute insanity. And for people to say to me, well, this is what he said he was going to do during the campaign, I don't care. If you say during the campaign you're going to do something illegal, just because you do that when you're president doesn't all of a sudden make it legal. That's crazy talk. So stop making that argument to me.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get more local and talk about, because you talked to both candidates for the Supreme Court race this week. You also talked to Brittany Kinzer this week. So let's talk about some of the interviews Steve has recently had ahead of April 1st's election on Spanning the State. Welcome back to Spanning the State, the political power half hour. Steve Scafidi is here, like he usually is, but he's also here the entire 2 hours of the show.
That's bonus, Steve. That's, as they say, hashtag more Steve. Steve. And right. if you believe in that, whenever you text to the Siding Unlimited WTM Day to talk and text on whatever the subject matter, whatever show, hashtag it more Steve. I'm across the board. From my show, morning show, midday, Spanning the States, Wan, Sandy, Dom, everybody across the board, hashtag more Steve.
All who's right. who's the overnight guy?
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey, yeah.
No, I don't know if he'll appreciate that, but
all right. So how does it make you feel knowing that we are a week and a half away from the election? The spending has already surpassed what it was in 2023.
That's crazy.
And that we have to do this every year for the rest of the decade.
Isn't that
there
nuts?
There's a Supreme Court race in 2026, 2027, 2028, and 2029.
Yeah.
And this is just our reality. Every year is to be inundated with this much spending, this much
and midterms
terrible.
In there,
yes, and midterms will be in there as well. We'll have another presidential election in there.
Oh, yes.
But isn't that... Yeah. Anyways,
it's deflating. It's irritating. It's a horrific waste of money, first and foremost,
yes.
Because I don't know about you, and I've been disagreed with this on this before, and I think it's a slim amount of people who actually are influenced by those ads because they sort of counter each other in the most obvious way. The testing of the rape kits. There's so much back and forth. I don't know. I had both candidates on my show this week. What's the truth? I don't know that what they're telling me is the truth or not.
Well, the ads certainly, I don't think, is the best way to get to know the candidates. They have been doing a lot of interviews. They had their one debate. Obviously, you can go check out Political Power Hour from earlier this week. Was it Tuesday?
Wednesday
that it aired with both those interviews. But the feeling of does it surprise you that what the numbers have been for early voting? Because I had made
this
prediction.
Yeah.
I know. So I had made this thought after the Marquette poll came out. That there was a lot of people who said they didn't feel like they knew enough about the candidates yet. And I had kind of assumed that the difference between 2025 and 2023 is the Trump administration and how much news there is. And so people have either tuned out or are distracted by other news versus our local elections. And then turns out way more people are voting, at least in the first week of early voting and absentee ballot mailing that back in, than where we were in 2023. Do you think that people are more fired up and that I underestimated them?
Whether that's fired up or, as Ben Wickler told me, chair of the Democratic Party, was on my show yesterday, there's more grassroots effort to get people out to vote early. As Republicans are saying, I think their terminology is bank the votes. Those things are making people go and vote early, I believe. It's also the time of year where it's pretty decent. I'll go down and vote early. It's a nice day. I'll walk out. We had some decent weather as well as some bad weather. And I think there is a group of people who are very passionate. I'll make this judgment about what I see with the numbers, and they are way up and like doubling the totals from 2 years ago, is that I would say that this is my opinion, not based on anything because I don't know how they voted, that there's a large number of early voters who are incensed about the conduct of the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and are acting early with their vote. That's my take.
And what about the Elon Musk of it all?
That's probably a small part as well. He's certainly pumped money into those efforts.
But
now
it's not
offering,
even the money.
He's offering
I think that's
money
the thing, because I know you asked Ben this, and I think we typically do have outside billionaires, whether it's the presidential election, whether it was the last Supreme Court election, that are donating to both parties because they can, right? They changed the finance laws in Wisconsin, and so it is allowed. There's something about the dishonesty of, and also the outright political nature of some of the messaging that the Trump pack, not the Trump, the Elon Musk pack is putting out that is like, that is, he's the one who's directly tying Schimmel to Trump, right? And I just, and maybe this is my Pollyanna optimism, but I just don't know if even conservative Wisconsin voters like that kind of like outsider meddling.
I think that's a pretty good assessment. I think we're tainted by all this stuff. And I think we want, this is me saying it, we want to be left alone with our votes. And you can spend, You could spend another $100 million. It's not going to change anything.
Because don't you think this is the testing ground for Elon Musk to prove that he is a kingmaker?
Yes.
Right? Because as he threatens
he already thinks that.
Well, that's but if you think about his threats to Republican lawmakers, and if you don't fall in line, I will fund your opponent in a primary. And so if he can prove that he can swoop into Wisconsin and flood this much money into it, does that not prove the case that he can do this as many times as he wants in any race that he wants? And so I feel like there is an opportunity here. I don't know. It makes me feel icky that I feel like this is not what it should be about, but I feel like it will be its potential for a referendum on Elon Musk having his hands all over the government and including our state court.
And I think that's a fair way to look at it, because I am disgusted by the things that Elon Musk is doing and saying. Doesn't mean I'm against government efficiency. I'm the opposite. But the manner in which he's choosing to do it, the words he's using, I'm not a fan of. And he's unelected. And I don't want an unelected person having that kind of power in our government.
What about him telling people that he'll give them $100?
Also BS. And should be against the law.
All right. I don't know if we'll come back before the top of the hour news, but we will take a break right now. This is Spanning the State. All right, Steve, quickly before we go to the top of the hour news, yes or no, is burning Teslas domestic terrorism?
It's not domestic terrorism. It's just against the law.
It's just vandalism.
Yeah.
All right. More with Steve and Kristen after the news, because then we're going to spin around the state.